Okay, so let's just review what we did yesterday. So we noted yesterday that basically there are five potential ways that we could outline the way in which you relate to mitzvot that you don't keep or that you violate. You could violate a law, that's not what we're talking about. You can mivatel a mitzvah asei chiyuvit. You don't say kriyat shema. You don't eat matzah on Pesach. Also not what we're talking about. What are the implications of violating a law? Onesh. What's the implications of violating, of actively being mavatel a mitzvah asei?
You're being called Rasha.
That's one. And Kfiya, we can force you, we can beat you within or past an inch of your life if that's what it takes to get you to be mekayim the mitzvot.
Past
an inch of your life? Like, to kill you? Yes. And just a question of Ad or Ad Bechlal or Ad below Ad Bechlal.
Before we get to the first time, can he say, like, I'm going to do it now?
Yeah.
Oh, fine. So it's until he does it.
Yeah. Until he says, okay, I'll do it.
Why would someone be so stubborn?
We mean actual beating, right?
It's like, would you like me to beat you, or would you like to just eat that matzah? I really hate matzah. I'll let you eat smarty soft matzah. Oh, okay, you don't have to beat me, I'll just eat it. Right? There are solutions here. But then there's what we're talking about, right? And there are three potential manifestations, right? One is actively avoiding a mitzvah to say chiyuvit. Right? Like the closing your eyes before the person, the Talmud Chacham, comes near you. Then there's actively avoiding a mitzvah to say kiyumit, which is not wearing a four-cornered garment in order to not be chayv in tzitzis. And then there is failure to actively pursue a mitzvah to say. Now the Gemara tells us that there is this category called tafsik l'miftar asmo min ha-mitzvot, where God gets angry at you. Sorry, when God is angry, He will take His wrath out on you if you have tatzdiki lemiftar asmo min ha-mitzvot. Now, what does that mean? So Tosfot claims that it is case four there, right? That it's in a world where people normally wear four-cornered garments. So for you not to wear four-cornered garments is active avoidance. And that is a problem. The implication of Tosfot is that if I didn't normally wear a four-cornered garment, there is no problem even spiritually in not wearing tzitzis. Right, not like wearing what we call tzitzis, right? Talis katan, l'shem mitzvah. That's not the problem. The problem is that if it's not that, yes, it's a mitzvah kiyumit, but it's also a mitzvah kiyumit, then a world where everyone wears four-cornered garments, de facto, right? The default would be that you would be wearing it. And if you dafka decide that you're going to be the weirdo who wears rounded garments, that's going out of your way to avoid it. Given a mitzvah that I say kiyumit, but still you're avoiding it. And that's
not kiyumit, though. Excuse me. Oh, because it's not. You don't need
I don't have to wear a four-cornered garment, but Tosfot said, but it's the norm.
Yeah.
So there's a level of avoidance. Formally, there's not an avoidance because I have no obligation to wear a four-cornered garment. But psychologically, religiously, there is an avoidance because you're going against the norm, which is to wear a four-cornered garment, and you're not doing it.
Yeah.
The case of the Gemara in Kiddushin, where you close your eyes before a Talmud Chacham comes, there it sounds like it's formally problematic, not just spiritually problematic, because it derives it from a pasuk that is a violation of Yoreita Me'elokecha, which sounds like more than Tatz Tekilim Iftar Atzmim and HaMitzvot. Right, that sounds like three is distinct, but as we saw, there are several of the Mefarshim who equate these. I mean, the Ritva is not 100% clear, but the Ritva seems to think that Tatz Teki even applies to level 2. Even Bittul Mitzvah Aseh Kiyumit, that God will only punish you when He's angry, though it's not totally clear, meaning He applies it to an Aseh, but He seems to apply it to blowing the extra shofar blast, so it's not totally clear.
Wait, what was it? What was that?
The Ritva...
it says if you don't blow the extra ones...
Well, he says he's not talking about a case where you're not okay a klal, but then he invokes the Gemara in Menachot, to say ki bitul ritzu zeh mitzvah zo batel. I'm sorry, the line before that he says lo anchi beitin shamala al asei elabidan ritcha. So the way he formulates the rule, even though it's not necessarily clear, this is what he means in context, is that even this spiritual punishment, there's a blurring of the lines between bitul mitzvah asei chiyuvit, kiyumit.
Yeah.
All these cases.
What about failing to pursue? Is that also blurred?
So far we've seen nobody who's explicitly said that that's a problem. Failure to pursue a mitzvah. Right? No one has said that's a problem. But we noted that conceptually, the Oneg Yontif's tshuva would lead you into a blurring of the lines, because what did he say? The problem was avoidance of an active avoidance of mitzvah to say kumit was the fact that you didn't show desire to be mekayim mitzvot, right? Which sounds proactive, which sounds like a blurring of the line, and therefore, according to him, you might be able to derive from the category of tatzik lemiftar atzvam mitzvot the notion that you should have to pursue a mitzvah to say kumit. But it's not 100% clear. Skip, I guess, for a moment to 16. Okay, 16. I found this article in Bar Ilan by Rav Chanoch Cohen, who I have no idea who he is. But I think more than anybody else that I found, besides for this article, which I just didn't even bother quoting for you at all, Rav Zalman Nechami Goldberg, he tries to get to the heart of this. Rav Zalman Nechami Goldberg, I told you, his article is like, I think I mentioned it to a few people, it's just one of those articles that makes you stand in awe that there are people like that in this world. Because he was asked, like, of the parameters of these types of things, and he's just like, well, before I outline the parameters, let me just list all the cases I can think of in the Gemara and the Rishonim that deal with it. And then he writes an article, the first, like, 15 pages are 300 cases that he thought of, right, like, off of the top of his head, and then he goes, like, it's just, his nickname is, right, is the Garzen.
I think he didn't know who he was.
What? No, Rav Zalman Nechami Goldberg, No, Rav Zalman Nechami Goldberg, who's his nickname is the Garzen, right? The Gaon Rav Zalman Nechemia, right? But they call him that because, what's a Garzen?
I'm assuming some kind of a genius.
No, it's an axe, right? Because he's sharp and powerful, right? He's Rav Zalman's son-in-law.
Got it.
He's awesome. He's also the person who gave smicha to Mati and Ariel. It's that person.
Oh, really?
That's Rav Zalman Nechemia Goldberg.
Got it.
He himself gave
him smicha. He's the mezuzah. He's the one who gave the mezuzah smicha. He's the one who has all the take-home smicha tests. That's him. Rav Zalman Nechemi Goldberg. Shlita. He's awesome. He really is. He's really incredible. Like, his articles in general are unreal. So if you turn... I didn't give you that article because I was completely overwhelmed by it. Completely and totally overwhelmed. I'm just not that smart. I can't. You know, it's the same feeling I feel like when I read a Tshuva by Rav Avadya. I'm just like, you know, or when I discovered that the Tzitz Eliezer is Tshuva. You know, there are different moments of like, I'm totally in awe. When I read Yabia Omer, which is what Rav Avadya sat down to write, I'm in awe that anybody knew that much to write. When I read Chavadat, I'm in awe because they're much shorter, except it was what he said off the top of his head when he was asked questions on a radio show live on air, and then someone just transcribed it, which is a different level of awe because he did that off the top of his head. When I read the Tzitz Eliezer, I'm in awe. How did anybody know this much and analyze it this sharply? Then when I found out that he used to write his tshuva usually between Shacharis, from Shacharis to Mincha, and bring it back because people would ask him questions in the morning and he'd bring it back from Mincha Maariv, then I just give up and say, I'm never going to know any Torah. I'm just done. That's how I feel with Zalman Nechem, yeah. But this is Reb Chaim Cohen. I have no idea who he is. But he has a nice article. So you look quickly. He says, V'yesh la'ayinim din zev yareitam elokecha nemer chol mitzvah ch'asur lav ki'atmo me mitzvah o rak hacha sh'nemer v'yareitam elokecha. So he said, this principle of yareitam elokecha, which I'm arguing is not number four, but number three, is distinct from tatzdiki. It's worse. Right? That's the Gemara's case. Right? That seems to be formally usher. Right? And we compared that to the Rashbam's understanding of why you're not allowed to leave Israel, because you're mafkia asmo min ha-mitzvot. And that sounds like a hafkah, because even if, right, the Gemara said that if there's a Talmud Chacham there that I should stand up for, and I pretend not to see him, I'm just a Rasha. That's level two. Mm-hmm. But if I close my eyes when I see him at a distance and I'm not yet chayev, so that's a violation of Yareitam Elokecha. And the simple pshat is that's worse than Tatsdiki, because he's on his way. Right? This is not a mitzvah kiyumit. It's not like But if I choose to go and find a Talmud Chacham, then I stand up for him. It's if a Talmud Chacham comes in, I'm obligated to respond.
Right.
But I'm closing my eyes, knowing he's on his way, so that I don't see him. Which, either you read that as, I really should be standing up, and I'm being mevatel mitzvah taseh, but it's not as bad as mitzvah taseh chiyuvi, because I'm not yet chayev when I close my eyes. Or you're saying, I'm actually avoiding chiyuv, it's true. But I can't avoid chiyuv in a direct way like that. And that's halachically usher, as opposed to tatzdiki, which is just, I incur God's wrath, bishat, wrath.
And
Tatsuki
is active in three?
No, it's four.
Four, okay.
Right, well, it's actively voting mitzvah to say kiyumit, as opposed to chiyuvit. Right? I think v'yareitem elokecha sounds like it's actively avoiding chiyuvit, right? Meaning, I close my eyes knowing the Talmud Chacham is on the way, and I really will have to stand up, but I won't see him. Right? As opposed to, I choose not to wear a four-cornered garment, where in a chanami, I'm really not chayev.
Yeah.
I just avoided that. Right? I actively made it that I'm really not chayev.
You could also see the not standing up, the closing your eyes as that.
So that's the question. It could be two, it could be three, it could be four, right? It's not kiyumit, so it sounds like it's worse. And we get a pasuk. So here he has this article, and he says, well, is this a principle in certain mitzvot, or this is a rule in all mitzvot? And he says, Dine yesh la'ayin, hechlam dimi pasuk reita, da asr lafki atzma mitzvah. Harektiva kamaduchti vya reita. Harebeo shal yavar al avira atzma vyomer miroeni. So he says what he thinks is that said we have the same drasha in other places where it's actually violating an isser, like by ona'a, right? Don't overcharge people. That is clearly just an isser, and yet we say viareta. So it's a bit weird to say that viareta is sometimes used in actually surim and sometimes in avoiding mitzvah asay, and to say it's only a local halacha. So he says, he thinks that it's a formal isser everywhere. Right now he assumes that you actually are being mafkia. Right? Meaning it's not this, because the Gemara distinguishes it. But he thinks that this is usher, but it's different from this.
Right?
That's different from this. And he says, and therefore he says, every time it says we are right, you can darshan this. And in Hey, he quotes the Gemara in Menachot. Okay, but then if you look at Vav, he says, "V'nir di shlomer d'masha leka iser lafkia atzma mehanach mitzvot hechi dami hechi she'ena machazer lahavir atzma l'matzav shel mitzvah." And he basically, the distinction I've been saying is what he says. He says, "Tatzdiki is where I avoid being chayev." But when the mitzvah comes by itself, right? Meaning, I'm not. The Talmud Chacham is coming, and I should stand up for him. But I close my eyes so I don't see him. Right? That is usher. To not wear a four-corner garment. I'm really not chayev. I just avoided it. So it's problematic at the level of tatzik kili miftar arzim in a mitzvah. But it's not usher. But if the mitzvah is on its way, so there's already a given. What?
There's like a chazaka that is about to come.
Right, meaning the given is that I'm chayev.
Yeah.
Right, not just the given is that I should do something that would make me chayev. The given is that I'm chayev, it's coming, it's on my way already. Right, meaning I'm not yet, which is why it's not Russia.
Yeah.
But the Talmud Chacham is walking towards me, and I'm actively avoiding the mitzvah.
Yeah.
I said that's what we call usher of the areta. And then he says in Zion, the nafka mina seems to be, when you... Right, in the Gemara's punished is the Gemara's implication is that by tatzdiki, really you don't normally be punished for it. It's not a real sin. It's just that when things are bad, God is already angry, so he won't protect you. But viareta is actually usur, and therefore, right, you deserve punishment, not just you don't deserve protection, which is the implication of tatziki, but it's actually usur.
Yeah.
And that's what he seems to say that comes out of this. Now, okay, So turn back now to 11. I gave you a bunch of different cases in halacha. Once we sort of understand these principles, you'll understand some of the implications that come up in the poskim. So first I gave you an interesting tshuva chutzukei chemed. All his tshuvot are interesting. He says, this comes up all the time, can you eat mizonot so that you don't have to wash and bench? So I'll first of all say that the answer to this is, usually that doesn't work. Because a lot of people, what they mean is, instead of having a sandwich, I'll have many, many, many cracker sandwiches. And there the halacha is, what do you clearly have to do?
Bench.
Wash and bench, thank you. Right? Because if you're being koveya de suda and pasav avikisin, you have to wash and bench, and therefore it doesn't work. Right? You know, people don't realize this. If you have enough crackers, you wash and bench. If you have a Belgian waffle, probably wash and bench. Yes, I think a Belgian waffle, you wash and bench. But not a pancake.
Why not a pancake?
Oh, why not a pancake?
Because it's not, nothing in it, no filling.
Nope, because a pancake is a blila racha. Right? Because it's made, it has no form. And therefore, it's objectively mizonot. You don't wash on a blila racha. Right? It's like a pancake you wouldn't wash on. Pasta you don't wash and bench. It has to be pasta babakisna, not maisa kedera.
Yeah.
Okay, very quickly. So that halacha. There's two different types of mizonos. There are things which are mizonos which are defined as pas in potential. Or pas hababakisnin. Right, which is, it is bread, it is pas, but it's not lechem. So the halacha by pas hababakisnin, right, which the Shulchan Aruch defines three ways. Either hard as a cracker, baked with sugar in the dough, or like a pie, a pocket. So the halacha by all those is, you eat it as a snack, you make a mizonot ala mechia. You koveya sud on it, you wash and make hamotzi.
So like cornbread?
What? No, that's not. Does that have wheat? Does it have five grains?
Wait.
5 grains.
A pancake probably has sugar in it.
Yeah.
So you would say pasav avikisnin.
Right. Right.
But no, it's not. Because there's a second category of mizonot, which is not even pasav in potential, that it's always mizonot ala mechia. And that's a masa kedera.
Okay.
Right? Something which is not baked, but is cooked. Mm-hmm. There, it's just mizonot. And even if you're koveya suda, it's just mizonot.
So,
right? Just like meat, even if you're koveya suda, it's still shakal, brain, fashot. So a maisa kedera is like that. So pasta is a maisa kedera.
What's lasagna. What makes something...
So think about it. I mean, pasta is not baked, it's cooked.
Yeah,
okay. Right? Oh, so here's the thing. There's an exception. Is that if something is made on a... is like made on a griddle... So it depends. If it's what's called a blila racha, meaning it has no form.
Yeah.
Right? It's just a thin batter that just sort of coalesces like a pancake. So then it's mizonot ala mechia always.
Okay.
But if you put a blila racha into a form so that it takes a specific shape, so then it's like pas. Right? Then it has the same halacha pas of a kisnin.
Okay.
So a pancake breakfast is mizonos al mechia. But if you were koveya suda, you had a breakfast on a Belgian waffle, because it's made in a griddle, right, with a specific form, it would be, then you'd have to be koveya suda, it would be hamotzi al mechia.
Mizonos,
it would be hamotzi, you're kind of mozo.
It's still not possible to kiss.
It is possible to kiss.
Oh, it becomes
mozo. No. If you had it as a snack, it would be mizonos.
No, but
I'm saying,
because it has a form, it's possible to kiss.
Correct, exactly. And therefore, but since the way people eat Belgian waffles is not usually like, it's not like an Eggo waffle that you like plop into the microwave and you have like as a snack on your way out the door. Like people go out for like a fancy Belgian waffle or koveya suda. Right, that is like the definition of a koveya suda, so you have to wash and bench.
Uh-huh.
I once talked about this with Rabbi Wiener, where he said he convinced Rav Schechter that this is the case. That if you go out for a Belgian waffle, like have you seen them in Israel? This is like everywhere, right? They have the huge Belgian waffles with like 30 scoops of ice cream, right? Like you don't want to eat for 3 days. It's like, you know, if it had the calories next to it, it'd be like 4,500 calories, and if it had those red stickers that they've been putting on, it'll be like high in salt, high in sugar, high in fat, high in, you know.
Okay, so like having a cake for breakfast, then you would need a bench on that?
Yes, meachos.
But it's not bread. I want something lechem.
It doesn't matter. It's pasa babikisnin, which is lechem in potential. Where the halacha is that if you have it as a snack, you say mizon ala mechia, and if you are koveya suda, you have to wash
it.
What
about the one slice, two slices of pizza?
Let's say it's Shabbos morning, and you realize that you only have one challah.
Oh.
Okay? But you have an uncut cake. Piskei Tshuvot says you can make lechem mishnah on the cake, as long as it's shalem.
Okay. So then how do...
Because it's lechem, it's pas.
How do they get away with the airline stuff?
They don't. There's no such thing as a mizonos roll. It's hamotzi. There you go. That's the answer. Look on the...
Why would they do that?
Because they don't know halacha. I don't know.
Unless you're eating it as a snack.
No. Those are just pas. Those are just pas. Those are just pas. Don't give me that. That's just pas. Look at that thing. It's bread. Okay?
You have something that shapes a pancake in a specific way. Would that consider...
Yes, potentially, yes. But pancake does not even make pancakes. Pancakes are a loose batter. Right, and therefore it's my sales.
Crepes would also be
mizonos, correct?
Mizonos. What's it called? A
mizonos. It's like a mizonos or a mizonos. Yeah, okay. Right, it's made in a pot. Uh-huh. Right, but if you make it in a right, and that's why I think a waffle is different. Right, a Belgian waffle, like a Mamisha waffle.
Well, the Eggo waffles work like pancakes.
That's a snack. If you have 10 of them, you have to wash and bench. But it's not a. But it's not. But I'm saying I'm willing to buy that. Someone says, oh, "I'm just having it as a snack." In a Hanami, people are having it as a snack. I'm willing to buy that people have one Eggo waffle as a snack. And if you want my opinion on pizza, I've made it very clear. If you have even a bite of pizza, you have to wash. It's bread.
Yeah.
Nikudah sof sipor. Okay? I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Willig, and to quote Rabbi Willig, on the Masorah that people say from Rav Moshe, which is that if you have one slice, you make a... he said, my only limud schus for Rav Moshe is that he said that because he had never seen a pizza in his life. Okay? Whoa. That is how convinced he was that this was obviously incorrect.
Nice.
Because it's just bread. Pizza is just bread with sauce on it. But to be fair, Ruchaim Ozer and I had a long disagreement about this in Switzerland and on the plane, and he is totally convinced that I'm wrong, and that obviously that sauce is like sugar, and it's like makes it into a cake, and it's baked into it because it's baked with it. I really don't understand this because it's baked on top of it, and it's a meal food, and I really am completely baffled by the entire thing. And I'm a Talmud Rai Willig, and I'm going to go on that.
He doesn't wash ever on pizza.
Well, I wash always on pizza, and I will tell you it's a Tawuz Bidvar Mishnah. Okay? If you're Kaveh Suda, even Ramosha is Modeh. There's no posting in the world who would tell you that if you're Kaveh Suda on pizza that you don't wash is wrong. In the same way as crackers, it's a Zaypasha. Right? There's this Misora. What?
What about
Mizonos
bread?
Mizonos bread is Hamotzi, so let's move on.
What about like just discuss this?
Just be.
A lot of them are not wheat, so in a chanami. I think so. I always wraps. Some people are like, oh, wraps are snack food. No, they're not snack food. I don't know why they're possible to kiss
it.
I don't understand.
Well, if you wrap it, it's like a pocket.
No, but it's not baked that way. It's like a pizza, my pizza.
Wouldn't it be more like a pancake? Like it's like
no, it's bread, it's baked.
Anything
I think so.
Yeah.
Avada. Okay, good. So we've done some important halachos here, guys. So we've done some important halachos. So now the Chashuk Gechemet was asked, okay, but what if you are that person? So assuming that you can do this, right, meaning let's say that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're having a snack, but you can either have a small sandwich or you can have a few crackers. Okay, so if it was bread, you would have to wash, but if it's crackers, you don't. So are you allowed to say, I will
eat crackers?
That's his shaila, I assume. What?
What's wrong with that?
So that's what he's asking. Because oh no, he says if you want crackers, avada it's mutter. But what if you say, look, I really want the bread, but I don't want to wash and bench. I don't feel like benching, right? Is that tatsiki the mifter atzma? And I mentioned you really want the bread, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I would have said I don't think so because I honestly, I'll tell you what my answer to this is. My answer is no. But I have this intuitive feeling that I have absolutely no proof to, but I think it's mistaber to me. Right? This is, you know, Rav Asher Weiss does this sometimes, right? I have no proof for this, but libi omerli, right? My heart tells me this is true, is that this halacha cannot apply by Berachas Hanenin.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Sit down, have a meal, and eat crap.
Right? I just don't think that's true, right? Because by Berachas Hanenin, you're making a bracha on what you're enjoying, and, you know, I it's not a mitzvah, it's a response that I have to be mavarich when I have hanah. I don't think it's a... I mean, yes, it's a mitzvah, but it's a different type of a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah on the hanah that I get. If I choose not to avail myself of hanah...
Yeah, that's not...
That's my intuitive thing. So libi omerli that this is different category. I have no proof to what I said. I just think it's true.
Right.
Right? It's mistaber to me that that's true. But when it was Zilberstein, what I wanted to give you from Zilberstein is that... is the following. Is that he... equates the Gemara in Menachot to the Gemara in Brachot, the Truma one, where I already said I think that's worse. right, where I actively go out of my way.
Well, leaving your astrology?
No, where I take my produce in through the roof. You know, where I think it's actively worse. That feels to me like a worse sugya.
Feels to you.
Like in the Gemara, I get the feeling that that's worse.
Oh.
Like that's the Gemara.
Fine.
Not like feel like it's, but I think like it sounds like it. No. But I have emotions, but that's not it. And then he quotes the halacha from the Ber Halacha that a Kohen who leaves shul before Birchas Kohanim, does he violate? So he thinks it's lo noa kadin. He thinks that basically this all creates a certain picture, which is that you're not supposed to avoid mitzvos. But then he has this, again, I'm not convinced this is true because of the reason I just told you, but he has an out, which he says, well, what if you think you don't have kavana in benching? And you don't want to bench because you don't have faith that you're going to have kavana in benching. He said, oh, then it's fine. Okay, very nice. I don't know. Let's look at another one. Shulchan Aruch, the one he just quoted. Kishka Kohanim Einam Rotim Lalot Leduchon Einam Tzrichan Lishhot Chutz Lebeis Agnez El Bishar Shekarei Chazan. Shulchan Aruch says that a Kohen who doesn't want it to duchen, this is one of those horrible Ashkenaziisms, but I'm going to use it anyways. Okay, to duchen. Okay, the duchan means platform. The formal term is la'lot la'duchan, right? It's to go up to the platform to bend,
to bracha.
Right, but then the Ashkenazi form of it is duchening, right? Which is literally just means platforming, right? Which, first of all, duchen means platform. Second of all, it's not an English word, so ing at the end is a bit of a grammatical nightmare. But I'm standing by it. Whoa. Yes, I am very insistent on my Ashkenaziisms. Normally,
where's David? Oh,
I know, David's not here, so I have to, you know, we have to tell him we are going to use duchen just to annoy him.
Sounds good.
So he says, they only have to leave when the Chazan says Kohanim. Aval Kadesh Yom Roshem Pegumim Noagush Likanas Beit Agnezet Ashik Rubir Chara Kohanim. But there's a minog that the Kohanim stay out the entire time so that people won't say that he's a non-Kohen. He's a Pogum Kohen. The Ber Halacha says in 13,
I will go back.
But now I'll ask you, why is that mutter?
To stay out.
Yeah, why is it mutter for the Kohen to stay out during Berachas Kohanim?
Seemingly it's
not. So, what does the Ber Halacha say? Ber Halacha says... Now, which one would you think it is?
Actively avoiding.
I might have said this, right? So, he says, it must be Kegom Ibnei Cholsha. It must be you're sick. Right? That you have a reason not to do it. And then, but now watch what he does, where I am totally confused by the following three lines in the Ber Halacha, okay? I would have said that a Kohen not coming in is level 3, right? That's what I would have said. Maybe level 4, Tatsdiki. Maybe. Maybe, but I would have said 3.
I would say 3. I thought they're 5.
Watch what he does, okay? He says... It's wrong because you're mevatel mitzvah aseh bechinam. Hare ze domo l'shar mitzvah aseh hatalui b'maseh kimo tzitzit delav chovat gavra hu ela chovat mana, which means that he's just equated 3 with 4. And then look at his next line. V'afilu achi tzarech lasud beget shal arba kanda litvot tzitzit va'an shinami Allah. And therefore, I'm not quite sure what he's saying, but it sounds like you're obligated to make a four-cornered garment to put tzitzit on it. Which means that he seems to think that sounds like, I'm not 100% sure, 5.
Yeah, 5%. No. He's saying in the same way that you have to stay in shul.
Sarich lasot beged shel darakanvot.
The same way that the Kohen has to go into shul.
The same way the Kohen has to go into shul, you have to make a four-cornered garment.
Yeah,
to put tzitzis on it.
Otherwise, you would be avoiding the mitzvah.
No.
It's not standard practice to wear tzitzit. Even if it's not standard practice, you have to.
Oh, because it's the same thing as the Kohen going out of shul.
No, that's avoiding a mitzvah aseh.
Right, this is the same thing.
No, you don't normally wear a four-cornered garment. Remember, Tosfot said that if you don't normally wear four-cornered garments, that it's not even tatsdiki. It's not even level 4. An obligation to make a four-cornered garment is 5. Is failure to pursue. Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's just blurring the lines between 4 and 5.
No, 3, 4, 3, 4, and 5.
No, no,
yeah.
No. Why?
You think the Kohen is 4?
Okay. If you blur the line between 5 and 3 and 4, then tzitzis is the same as 3. It's a mitzvah chiyuvit if you're wearing a 4-corner garment.
Correct, but you're not obligated. You don't normally wear it. You don't have to wear it.
Fine, so that's tosos, but that doesn't mean he has to hold it.
Fine, but this is not even 4, this is 5. Right, Hanami, my point is that simple pride is that he doesn't buy tosos. That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Is that he may say, remember I said this is mash on the Oneg Yom Tov, which is that the real rule here is that you're supposed to actively pursue mitzvah. You're called a mitzvah.
Right.
And therefore, you could logically equate these three.
Yeah.
I think that Mr. Brewer does.
Okay.
Right? But it's not at all an obvious svara. Right? That's what I want to point out, is that lumdishly, this is not at all obvious. Right? These are distinct things. Saying that there's a positive chiyuv to pursue mitzvah nasei kiyumid is very different from saying I can't actively avoid a mitzvah nasei chiyuvid or kiyumid. But that's a completely different level.
Technically, you don't know if they've been to a mitzvah.
But there is a way of perhaps... Now, everything we've seen until now assumes that these principles are universal. And it doesn't matter what mitzvah you're talking about. But that's not necessarily clear. Because it could be, and the reason that I don't want to blur the lines here is because I'm assuming these are universal principles. Except, it could be that this isn't a universal principle. What is it?
Depending on the mitzvah.
Correct. It could be that it depends on the mitzvah.
Yeah.
And it could be that tatsiki by tzitzis, you would equate 4 and 5, because this isn't a universal mitzvah. What is it?
This is like
I don't know if I would do that, but I mean, you could say that no, this isn't a universal rule that you have to actively pursue mitzvot. It's that there are certain mitzvot that you shouldn't avoid because you should actively pursue. Meaning, blur 4 and 5, but only for tzitzis.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Give me a svara. Give me a svara. Why would it be that maybe by tzitzis there is a dafka chiyuv to pursue the mitzvah saseh?
Okay.
And that's really what Tatsuki is getting at. Not the fact that I'm avoiding, but a failure to pursue. Not like Tosfot.
I guess the whole point of it is that you're like have it all day.
So look at 14. The Yad HaMelech makes this point in the Rambam. That the Rambam in Perek Hevel Chesed Torah tells you, "V'lo yir'et tamid el osik b'Torah, atuv b'tzitzit, muchtar b'tfilin v'chulei." That a Talmud Chacham should never be seen without tfilin, tzitzis, and learning Torah. What do you see from that, Rambam?
That you should pursue it. It's a good thing to
But not all mitzvot. Yeah. This is not a universal rule, because it's very hard to say universally, I have to pursue, I'm chayav, and God will be angry at me for every single mitzvah I say kiyumit that I didn't pursue. Because as we said yesterday, if that's really true, are you going to tell me that I have to buy a house with a flat roof to put a makkah? Right? Like, I don't have a flat roof.
Yeah.
I don't have a flat roof. I have a house.
It's not like you have to get the
So is tzitzis.
Yeah.
And yet the Rambam seems to say that by tzitzis there's level 5. There's an active chiyuv to pursue.
Yeah.
Right? That's meduyuk in the Rambam.
So you could
say that tatsiki is a local halacha to tzitzis, and in tzitzis there's a logic to say you actually have to pursue it. So you could just say, it's shavel chala mitzvah, but I have a better reason. I think. What's the better reason? I'm not saying that's a bad one. What?
It's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the whole point. That's like it's on your good.
So I would have said pretty simply, which is.
Well, that these three things are on a personal level.
So it could be about all three, but there's something about tzitzis that I would say that is even that motivates me to say that it's different. You don't have to agree with me, but I. So easy, but there's something even more that I think is more even more obvious.
Easily accessible.
Even more than that.
Why not?
That tzitzis is, when we talk about this in Agadata, tzitzis is one of the few mitzvahs where the Torah outlines the benefit of actively wearing tzitzis. It's not just a chiyuv, the Torah tells you that there's a reason to be wearing tzitzis, which is, right, is if you see it, it'll remind the mitzvahs. But that means if it's one of the cases where the Torah itself tells you, by the way, that's also true by tefillin, right? I mean, tefillin fits in this, because what does tefillin say? So that you will remember Kol Mitzvot Hashem. Yeah. Meaning both of them are mitzvot where the Torah tells you that wearing them reminds you of mitzvot, which means the Torah tells you that it's, yes, it's situational, at least by tzitzis, but wearing them has a benefit that's not just the fact that it's mekayim a mitzvah. Right? Meaning not like tama mitzvos, external to the Torah. The Torah tells you to wear it to achieve the results. In such a case, there, I could argue that for tzitzis, there is no distinction between 4 and 5. Between avoiding a mitzvah as a kumit and failure to pursue it actively, unlike Tosho.
Well, let's say, according to this, any mitzvah that the Torah gives the Tom for would be...
Potentially, right? Any mitzvah where the Torah makes it clear that the benefit is not just the fact that you're Mekayim the mitzvah, but tells you this mitzvah has an external goal attached to it. So what's the Torah essentially telling you? The benefit of this mitzvah is not just the fact that I was Mekayim the mitzvah.
Right. But like the roof, right? We know that they're the external goal of that, right? So are you going to say that the external goals are different, right?
Yes, it is. Why? Because what's the difference? Tell me the difference.
Well, one is after the fact kind of thing, and one is a state that you want to induce in the
house. Yeah, having a house without a roof is a problem. That's why.
I just put it slightly differently. The goal of Makkah is that someone's life shouldn't be in danger.
Yeah.
But if I buy a house with a roof that's not flat where people can't walk to begin with,
there's no danger.
So I've already achieved the goal, yeah. Right? As opposed to this is where I haven't. Meaning, yes, by Makkah it tells you the goal, but the goal is Lotasim Davim Mevetecha. People shouldn't be dying. If I make a roof that is not accessible,
there won't be blood.
Then it's also no, right? You know? And by the and look, the difference between walking on a flat roof and what you might do on a flat roof on a not flat roof and how safe you feel, right, is very different. I remember those times when probably completely breaking the rules, almost definitely. In Gush, they used to keep a ladder on the, you know, the Gush roof.
Oh wait,
you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's shaped like an eagle. Like, it goes like this, like very, very, very steep, like this.
Yeah.
So, on the Mirpeset, behind the Beit Midrash, there used to be a ladder. And we, when no one was there, and like 4:30 in the morning, before Hanetz, we climbed up the ladder, up to this extremely tall roof, crawled on all fours, up to the very top of the eagle, to look out at sunrise as it comes over the mountains, which A, was awesome, B, was completely terrifying. Because like... But you don't like stand up and walk on that roof. It's not like this, right? It's not like a 20-degree angle. It's like a 70-degree slope.
Well, that's really the same thing depending on which way you look at it.
Why did you do that?
What?
Why did you do it?
Because gorgeous. And because we were deprived on sleep for years. Right, like this is Shana Bet. At the moment, I'm thinking it was Shana Bet. I think no, maybe it was Shana. We had not slept in months properly, and that was a night when we'd also been up all night. So we were really, really deprived of sleep. And someone said, "Hey, it'd be a great idea if we went and saw sunrise from the top of the roof." And for you know that time, and I'm like, "Yes, that sounds like an amazing idea."
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it sounds great.
It's a good story.
At some point, they stopped. I think they took the ladder away. Like, it wasn't like you could just get on the roof. Like, you had to climb on the Mirpeset, right? Like, onto the roof.
I think I know what you're talking about.
What?
I think I know what you're talking about.
You could look at a picture, right? If you look at the Gush roof, it's not like this. It's like this.
I could type the Gush roof and it'll tell
you. No, look at Yeshivat Har Etzion. Pull out your phone. Look. Type in Yeshivat Har Etzion, right? And you'll see how insane we were. And I'm just saying, that's not the roof we're talking about, because no normal person climbs up that roof. Only sleep-deprived Shana.
Very careful, hopefully.
Yeah, right, yes. Sleep-deprived Shana, guys. We were the most careful people in the world. We were so responsible.
Where's your Mako on David?
A lounge food?
What?
No,
of course it is.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm guessing one of these angles is what you're climbing up on.
Yeah, that angle.
Great.
Let me see.
God. It's not exactly an angle.
There's a lot of friction.
Yeah, that was... I mean, technically it's the back. It was actually... It's the wrong angle.
It's the one that goes higher up.
I think it's this one. Yeah, you can see it better from... Is that it? Wait, let me see. You get the technical angle of this. See, this is one side of it. But they're similar angles from all sides. No, it's this one. This is the back. This is the back of the building. It was... It's that roof.
Oh, nice, nice.
Right? This is the Merpeset, and it's that roof.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty steep. We were pretty stupid. Anyways, whose phone was this?
Did anyone get hurt?
No. We're all here to tell the tale. It was...
It must have been
I think I know who it was, too. Okay.
Did you make that joke in your first reel or something?
Well, you think we told people? What?
Was that the last thing you went up?
No, this became a thing. What? This became a thing at Mishmar. We used to do this a lot.
People after Mishmar for Hanates.
Yes, we used to risk our lives by climbing up to our... The point is, you're not supposed to do that. Normal people don't jump that roof. You have to be choshesh. What you should do is remove the ladder from the stupid Shanalev guys. That's what you should be doing. You don't need a parapet. You just need to... Okay? And that svar is also what this guy says in the Daf Al Daf. He quotes both, right? One is that there seems to be, right, this value of Dafka wearing, and the other is that the fact that the Torah itself tells you, Uschartem. And his proof is the Gemara Mem Daled, is the story of the student with the prostitute, where the tzitzis bang him in the face, right? That one, yeah. And he says that's why we've accepted it kichova. So I think that logically, right, you could equate all these if you think the motivation is not that it's a problem to avoid, but really that's an expression of a positive chiyuv. But you also, I think, it's more likely to distinguish between mitzvah. That certain mitzvah, it makes sense to say that there's a chiyuv, that there's a halachic value, I don't know what to call it exactly, to actively pursue. And other ones, there's just a problem of avoiding it.
Wait, so tefillin would fit into that also.
Yeah.
So
that's what Raman says, tefillin and...
So you should actively pursue to wear tefillin.
You should, and then you have to deal with URO. Yep. Good. There was this interesting tshuva of the Mishnah Halacha that I found as well. Where he just thinks that no, the active pursuit is in general a chiyuv, right? He thinks that level 5 is actually universal, which I'm not sure of, but this is where he gets more Kabbalistic and I don't know what to do with this, where he quotes from the Charedim that you're chayev to be mekayim kol taryag mitzvot, because if you don't, then you'll have to come back in another gilgul to be mekayim it. Don't ask me what that means. This is beyond me. But he quotes from the Rambam that says Yesh mitzvah says Adam chayav l'shtadel v'rodov v'ashiyatotan. Said the Rambam says there are only certain mitzvot, right? Tefillin, tzitzis. And therefore, he says, "Ulai sfir le'nami lechalik ben tzitzit l'mezuzah u'makeh, tzitzit akobanim la'sarach lechazer b'mnei eden ritcho efshir debegolo ve'olam mikra eden ritcho debegolot lo'olam mikra eden ritcho v'mezuzah talibur." So no, and then he right makes a decision. He said, "Distinction. Maybe it's different between tzitzis and mezuzah, because again, mezuzah. Are you going to tell someone he can't live in a yurt? Live in a yurt if you want. Right? Go ahead." A Mongolian tent. Mongolian tent. We've talked about this. Yes, I have a cousin who wants to live in a yurt. That's why I know what a yurt is. Right? Fun tent. That's my cousin. That's Ora's cousin who's married to a Karaite.
Really?
Yes. She's Chiloni, rabbinate. He's Chiloni, Karaite. I don't know myself what the difference is. Right? I mean, they're both Chiloni. He just grew up in a Karaite family, and she grew up in like a traditional... What?
Why do you have so many
Karaites? The same one. How many Karaites do you think I know? I know one
Karaite.
I know one Karaite.
He constantly makes stories about it. I love this recording.
And it's not a religious Karaite.
No, a secular Karaite. How many Karaites do you think I know?
I don't know.
Karaite, Shomronim, right? All these people. I know no Shomronim. No. Yes. Yes, I know none of them. Okay, good. Yeah, it's another one of those things. Yeah.
Are you up to that
now? Now, let me ask you the question. Okay, let's further. So now we've laid all these possibilities out and suggested the possibility that it depends on the mitzvah.
Yes.
Now let me ask you another question. Do you think that this prohibition... mitzvah, value, call it what you want, is only if you avoid it always, or even if you find it sometimes. Right? Meaning, what is the formulation? Is it an objection to avoidance or a proactive chiyuv to be involved? The nafkamina is, there's an obvious nafkamina, which is,
I can do it sometimes.
Yes, but give me a lemaisa case.
You wear tzitzis every day except one day.
Or yeah, give me a case that people actually ask about. Some people will say, why are you taking off your tzitzis while you're playing sports? Aren't you avoiding the mitzvah? Well, the answer is, wait a second. Right? What do you think is going on here? If you think whatever this value is, don't avoid a mitzvah in general. So if I wear it usually, but I don't wear it in sports, it's not a problem. But if you say that this is a proactive chiyuv, so then you might say that you should grab every opportunity, even if that means your tzitzis are going to get disgusting, sweaty, and schwitzy. The Itur, now back to Rishonim in 17, says, well, what's the simple shot in the Gemara?
You have to wear it all the time?
No, you can't avoid it all the time, exactly. He says, "V'ikol emedak mimalacha diemra mitzitzis bekaita obistava avagav dolor mikule shata ukule yomar lo meyanish lo menish el dolorami al v'savta velo bekaita v'kapader nafshe legamrei." If you wear it in the summer and not the fall, and not the fall, or vice versa, that's not what the Gemara is talking about, right? So, if someone this problem, meaning of avoidance, because avoidance is only if I avoid it all the time. But if I wear it during the winter because I wear 10 layers, but in the summer I really, really schwitz and I only wear a t-shirt. So he says it's very hard to say that's avoidance. Again, if you conceptualize it as you are actively chayev to pursue the mitzvah, so I could argue that you're actively obligated to pursue it as much as possible. But if it's about avoidance, it's very hard to say, look, I wear it whenever I can and it makes sense, but like when I play sports, I don't. Right? Or if it's 105 degrees outside, so I don't wear it. Right? But I wear it, when I'm wearing multiple layers, one of them will always be tzitzis. But in the summer, right, I go around just in a dry fit t-shirt. I don't, by the way. I'm like, it was like, I went like 3 years of only wearing button-down shirt with ties and a jacket.
Really?
When?
Toronto.
Why?
Because it was North America and I was a rabbi. And then like as soon as I got back to being a balabas, I'm like, thank God. Like Baruch Hashem. It was so, like, I love Toronto, but I did not love wearing a tie every day. Just, like,
you really probably didn't have to.
What are we going to do? I was a Skon Rosh Kollel and a rabbi of a huge shul. Yes, I had to.
Okay.
That was, yes, I had to. 100% I had to. If I walked into shul without a tie, people would say, what are you on vacation? Like, mamish.
You were a rabbi of a shul in Toronto?
That's what he just said.
You have been in my shir for almost 2 years.
I'm surprised. Yeah, you never told me you were a rabbi of the shul. I knew.
Yes, of a shul of like 5,000 people.
Where?
Yes, I was one of the rabbis. It has three rabbis on staff.
That you've told me. You were one of, not the rabbi.
I was a rabbi in a shul. Yes.
What? Sentence rephrases if you were the rabbi. Like,
no. My main job was in the kollel. Please God, no. I have deep respect for shul rabbis who can handle shuls of that size. Rick Karovkin is a master rabbi, so Baruch Hashem, he was the head rabbi. He is the head rabbi. You know, there's a reason he's the head rabbi and the president of the RCA. He is a master rabbi. I cannot, What?
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 Not yet.
Oh, yeah.
Those are cool.
The one Shabbos. There was one Shabbos that I was in charge of the shul. Because Ray Kropkin was away and Ray Spitz was sick.
How'd that work out? Seven people.
So unbelievably hard. Not died, but yeah, I got cremation shilas on that Shabbos. Oh, like I got so many. I had to make sure that Divrei Torah and Shirim were given in all the minyanim. Right, there were 11 minyanim on Shabbos morning. So anyone that was responsible, right, to make sure that was happening. I had to, on the spot, figure out who could speak for a bar mitzvah boy because the person who had prepared the bar mitzvah speech was sick and sent me his notes, which literally included a bunch of random words that like were just notes that made no sense to me because like the first thing was two mothers. That was literally the first comment, which was supposed to remind him that he was raised by his mother. Like he was so close to his sister that it was like a second mother, but how the heck was I supposed to know? So I had to figure out who could speak for the bar mitzvah boy, and thank God I happened to be sitting next to the wife of one of the rabbis in shul who was a teacher in a school, and I remembered that he taught the right grade in the kid's school, so I asked him to give an improv. Like, it was unbelievable what I had. I was just like, and there were no, you know, was there a death? There might have been. I don't remember. But, like.
The shul at the time?
No, there was, well, there was the cremation in Shiloh, but I'm trying to remember there was also an onane Shiloh. No, I think that was a different Shabbos. And that was, like, where I was just like, look, rabbis, you know. I'm like, I have a lot of respect for you, but I really like being in chinuch a lot more than I like being in shuls. There are parts of the shul rabbinate I really like, but I really do find it like I am in awe of the people who can, you know. You know, I don't think I could do it every day. I mean, maybe I could. Maybe I would surprise myself. But like, you know, you get good at it. But like, when you run from like shiva house to, you know, I remember like when I would like run from a shiva house to a woman whose husband had just died and it was pre-funeral. Like, it takes an emotional drain. It's really draining. Like, you know, you try to be there for people, but like, it takes a lot out of you. Okay, so that's the answer. The Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Umitzvat tefillin, umitzvat mezuzah, umitzvat aseihem. V'inei bechal kabbalat malchut shamayim, ki'okei nichtu v'parshat shma Yisrael, v'duchal li'idbonin mizeh al onesh ha'mavat al ha'mitzvot ha'ileh, ki hu shover ol minatek mosarot, u'kvar agam lo damra mitzvot ha'ileh." Right, if you avoid these mitzvot, or you're breaking the ol of mitzvot. Val mitzvot tzitzit, amar rabotinu zirchom lomar bracha b'sifrei tzitzit mosefet kedusha. Tzitzit adds kedusha, etc. And he says, "V'gam ki ein mitzvat tzitzit zulati al mishiyish lo beged asher lo arba kanfot ve'em ein lo beged kaze ein ochay leknoto." Right, tzitzit. There's no chiv to wear a four-corn garment. Avgam zot amar rabotinu zirchom lomar bracha kol onosh ya'anosh li'itot b'tzarah davar shelo chamad b'levavo yofi amitzvah zchara. But they said you're punished if you didn't desire the mitzvot. Levavor seventh b'nei divrei chivo alav lo kachat lo beget sheyesh lo arba kanfot lasus bo tzitzit al kanafav. So the Rabbeinu Yonah tells you two things. Does he think that the mitzvah here is category 4 or 5? Avoid it. Is the issue really about avoidance or about a chiyuv to pursue?
Five.
Except what else does he say?
You're punished.
No, that's only for tzitzis. Right, meaning he's willing to take five, but not as a rule in all mitzvot. He's willing to take five within tzitzit, and I think conceptually that makes sense. Right, meaning I'm willing to accept that 3 and 4 are universal rules. Right, it's very hard to say that this is universal. Right, you're not going to say it by Maruke. I'm willing to buy either, right, that this is not really a category, right? That really the real categories are you should avoid avoidance of the various kinds. And I'm willing to accept that there's an active chiyuv to put yourself in a situation of chiyuv depending on the mitzvah.
Right.
But I find it very hard to believe that level 5, the way the Mishnah Berurah seems to do it, tells you that every single mitzvah on the planet, I have to put myself in a shas chiyuv. I find that very, very difficult to buy, because he's not going to say it by Ma'akeh. He's not going to say it, right? Now you could be Matari to everyone. I will note that it is possible that Tatsuki really does mean 4, right? That you shouldn't avoid mitzvah chiyuvis, and still say that there is a separate chiyuv of a 5, and maybe by all mitzvah. It's possible, and I think that's what the Rush thinks. So you look at 19, it's very annoying that the Tosfot Rush is not in Bar Ilan normally. The Tosfot Rush on...
You don't use Sfarid?
I mean, I use Sfarid also, but the Tosfot Rush is on the side of the Daf. On Nida, so for some reason it's not there, but... So here, this is what he writes. The angle of Erd Lochivet or Lasut sits it. Elok Misha Yeshlo Talit Bar Arba Kanfo, Do Amrina, the Red Kalet, Malach, Lorav Katina, Sarbal, Bissiduta, etc. Umase Gatun, Divina, and Ritcha, Anchiale, Hainidafka, Bimayam, Shakati Fatan, he betalit Bar Arba Kanfo. No, here.
No, I know.
Okay. So what does he say? He says very specifically, he says, Tatsiki is which category?
Avoidance.
And therefore he paskins like Tosfot. That if in a world where you don't normally wear four corner garments, It's not a problem. But then look at his second line on the wide lines. Etc. But there's still a mitzvah. So what does he tell you?
Tatsdiki is a universal rule. And tatsdiki you don't violate if you don't normally wear four garden garments. But this also exists, right? Meaning the Mishnah Berurah equated these three. We've seen people who said that tatsdiki by tzitzis means you have to pursue. The Rosh says, no, it doesn't. Tatsdiki, the mitzvah of a mitzvah, is a universal rule, which is avoiding mitzvahs et kiyumis. And the chiyuv, or the value of pursuing tzitzis, is also true, but that's not even addressed in the Gemara.
So how does he know?
He just suggests it, right? Meaning he says, in a chanami, he says the Gemara only ever talks about 1, 2, 3, and 4. Right? He doesn't try to conflate them like the Mishnah Berurah. He says these are different values. He just thinks that by certain mitzvot, logically, there's a reason to pursue them actively. He doesn't claim that it's tatsuki, he just thinks it's true.
Right?
So if we just summarize what we've seen, right, is we've seen that there are different values. There's avoiding mitzvos, right? If it's a mitzvah aseh chiyuvit, you're a rasha. If it's a mitzvah aseh that's coming in the mela, I think the simplest pshat is that that's a distinct category, and that's formally usher. Not maybe to the point of kriya, right, but usher, that's category 3. Tatsuki seems to be avoiding mitzvah seh kiyumit, which, like Tosfot, is only in a case where you can be considered avoiding it. And failure to pursue a mitzvah seh, al pi pshat, is different. If, however, you say that really the reason you shouldn't avoid is not because there's a problem in avoidance, but because that reflects a failure to pursue, so then theoretically you can expand all these categories to include 5.
Yeah.
Right? But then you have other options, which you could say that there's only a problem of avoiding a mitzvah seh kiyumit by certain mitzvot, like tzitzit, where really it's about motivating you to actively do it.
Well, isn't it avoiding a mitzvah kiyumit, really?
No, kiyumit.
Like, well, because once you have a fourth corner garment, then you're...
Yeah, but that's called kiyumit. Kiyumit means if I choose to put myself in a situation, I'm chayav. That's kiyumit. Rather than I'm trying to put myself in a situation.
You're choosing to have a four-cornered garment. You're not choosing for the chacham to come by.
But you're still closing your eyes. You're choosing whether you see him or not.
No, because that's what he says, it comes from a mela.
Yeah, if you didn't see him, then you're not chayav.
Exactly, okay.
But he's already coming, right? He's coming mamela. I don't have to go to a Talmud Chacham to stand up for him. That would be parallel. But he's on his way towards me. The given is already that I'm going to be chayav, and then I'm avoiding it. Mm-hmm. But that's more problematic.
Okay,
right?
So it's not... It's sort of... Okay. It's like...
Fine. As we saw in some of the Rishonim, it's the difference between a mitzvah bum and mela and one where you have to make a choice to put yourself in a situation. Chiyuvit kiyumit might not be helpful for all the cases. But it's also possible that there are different levels. That the Gemara only speaks of 1, 2, 3, and 4. But logically, we can derive 5.
Right.
But maybe it depends on the mitzvah. And we've seen that there are nafkaminas to this. So I'll give you at the end, right? I gave you a long quote from Luchenstein. Luchenstein was asked this, the following shaila, and I want you just to see how he deals with it. He was asked about whether it's proper for Bnei Akiva to dafka do tiulim on Sukkot and take advantage of the fact that while you're traveling, you're putter from the mitzvah of Sukkah. Is that right? So first he writes a long article about why it might technically be mutter, right? You might be Hochei Drachim. It's a machlokes, depends on how you define Hochei Drachim and what motivate, huge machlokes. But then he says, in the last one here, where he says, until now we spoke from a purely and exclusively halachic vantage point. However, on a practical level, the matter seems radically different. One should be sharply and firmly opposed, both educationally and from the perspective of Jewish belief and values, to tiulim or activities organized in a way that involves not observing the mitzvah of sukkah. The existence of formal exemptions from positive mitzvah is not the exclusive nor the only decisive way of gauging whether to perform them. We do not speak of actual evasive trickery, harama, itself a significant problem in halacha and belief, and this is not the forum to relate to it, right? Harama is a totally different category, right? Where I... Even not relating fully to a mitzvah is problematic, even when it involves ignoring and not evading. A Jew must be saturated with an ambition and longing for mitzvah, and not, God forbid, view them as a burden he is inescapably stuck with that he tries to cast off at the first opportunity. This point is at the root of the trait of zrizut, acting with enthusiasm and energy rooted in the obligation not just to serve God, but to serve Him with joy and exhilaration. Realizer's statement, if one's prayer is a fixed obligation, is not a supplication, is explained by Rabbi Oshia as one whose prayer is a burden to him. Of course, this is special meaning in its home context, relating to prayer, but the concept at its root applies to all mitzvot. The Gemara in Pesachim explains the rule that in Erev Shabbat, Kiddush precedes Birkat HaMazon, for one that was eating when Shabbat enters, and that Motzei Shabbat Birkat HaMazon precedes Kiddush by the principle. Shabbat entering is different than Shabbat leaving. We try to have it enter as early as possible out of our love for it, and have it exit as late as possible so that it's not a burden on us. This is not just a drush or a pious custom, but mainstream halacha. This principle reflects a halachic approach in all of its power and scope beyond the restricted formal plane. Skip to the next paragraph. Right, he quotes Novel Bershara Torah. He says, perhaps the central halachic source that we've shown him to clarify this issue is the laws of tzitzit. And then he quotes Rav Katina. Okay. Then he quotes the Rambam. Right? Which is, the Rambam in Tzitzit 3.11 says, even though one's not obligated to buy a talit and wrap himself in it in order to affix tzitzit to it, a pious person should not absolve himself from the mitzvah. Rather, one should always try and wear a garment that is obligated in tzitzit in order to fill the mitzvah. Other Rishonim extend this to obligate not only the pious, but everyone, as we see in the context from the Tosfot Rosh that we just read. Okay? So, look at the last line. And he says, if this is true of a mitzvah that is always within one's reach, certainly this is the case with regards to a mitzvah that one can only fulfill 1 week out of the year. However, the question itself, especially when asked by Israeli youth groups that stand for education and service of Hashem and fear of God, and that no small number of Bnei Torah are involved in, is problematic. Right? Then he goes on, and again, Ruchantin is blurring here Halacha and Ashkafa, but he's saying that the values that emerge definitely from some of the Rishonim on this sugya tell you that at least for certain mitzvah, there's a chiv to pursue. And right, his argument was, look, this is a mitzvah that only happens once a year. Right, it's not like you have the option of saying, I'll wear it sometimes, I won't do it other times. You're choosing to give up two or three of your days of it. And he says, here it's even more, because this is officially a religious educational group, which is choosing a tiyul that avoids chiyuv mitzvot. Right? He says, what we learn from these values, besides for the formal problem, is the meta value here, which is that you should stand for pursuit of mitzvot. And therefore, lemaisa, He goes on, this is quite a biting article, right? He says, for decades I was in the diaspora, in places where the mitzvah sukkah was not considered an easy mitzvah, and I was never asked about using the traveler's exemption one is far from a sukkah during the day. Did it ever enter the mind of a businessman that strives to scrupulously fulfill mitzvah and in the course of his business finds himself in New York skyscrapers to eat his lunch in his office because there's no sukkah in his vicinity? Did a student abuse himself as rooted in Torah and fear of God and finds himself forced to spend a long day in the university library ever think of eating in a cafeteria because the campus does not have a sukkah? Is it possible that in Israel, where the mitzvah of sukkah is both easier and more inclusive, a mitzvah that even many that are not generally observant still relate to in one way or another, is it possible that here Bnei Torah should avoid keeping this mitzvah in its fullness? And then he goes on, I understand there's an educational value to doing Tiulim for coming to love Eretz Yisrael, but he says that the educational message is right to have a sukkah. And then of course his final suggestion is, look, it's really not a big deal. Like, you're preparing food for 3 days, so bring a sukkah. Right, Meng? Right? But again, I just want you to understand that this issue, again, it really brought, sort of crosses the line between halacha and hashkafa. But as we were talking about yesterday, right, when you're paskening lemaisa, it's important to be infused with those values also and to be understand the different levels and the different types of mitzvot and the different ways they relate to each of these principles. The last point I'll make, and this is the lumdish point that the Gemara, we already touched on. The Rajma deals with it very extensively if you want to really kill yourself on it. But if you remember, Rashi and Tosfot argue whether this category of tatsikil mitzvah, azmim, and mitzvot makes sense, bein according to Shita of Chovat Gavra, and Chovat Talit, or only according to the Shita that Chovat Gavra. Now, what's the logic for both?
That's, well, doesn't the Gemara itself use it as a proof?
No, so Tosfot thinks that this is a proof in Chol Gavra. Rashi has a different girsa on the Gemara that assumes that it's not conclusive. That's what Tosfot notes. So conceptually, tell me, what does this depend on? Why would you think it only makes sense according to Chol Gavra?
Because
you're wearing it.
Well, because you're not, I mean, you don't have anything on you, so...
Right, I mean, if it's about Chobot Gavra, that means even if it's a mitzvah kumit,
yeah,
it's centered in the person. Meaning, there's a value for me to wear tzitzit, I'm just only obligated when I wear a four-cornered garment. So there, it's plausible to say you're avoiding it.
Right.
But you could say it's very hard to say you're avoiding it if the mitzvah inheres in the object. Because either I have the object or I don't. But it's not centered conceptually in the person. Anything that's centered in the person, you can say try to pursue it. It's very hard to say that I'm chayef to pursue a mitzvah that's centered in an object. But what's Rashi going to respond? Mapitom, right? Either, no, it just, who cares formally what this is. The point is you shouldn't be avoiding mitzvah. I don't care how it's conceptually formulated, or if this is a local mitzvah to tzitzis, he'll say, I don't care formally what it is. Either you're getting the advantage of tzitzit or not.
Yeah.
Right? The more you think it's about tatsiki and the related values are, you should be wearing tzitzit, the less it matters formally, chovet gavra, chovet mana.
Yeah.
The more you think, like Tosfot in general, that tatsiki is a formal category, which means that I actively avoided mitzvah to say kiyumit, so the formalities matter, which is, I might really view it as avoiding it. Because he goes as far as saying, I'm not avoiding it if I don't normally wear four-cornered garments.
Right?
So by the same logic, right, Tosfos will say, and if it's inheres in the object, I'm not avoiding anything, I just don't have the object. It's only once it finds its conceptual place, beginning in the person, that you can say, well, there's a assumption, a starting point, you should be wearing it. But according to Rashi, I would say it doesn't matter. If the motivation is you should be pursuing mitzvah, who cares about formality? This is a meta-principle rather than a technical, right? Tosfos seems to go much more formally, which is, am I formally avoiding it? To formally avoid it has to be a chovet gavra. But if this is more a values question, am I sufficiently invested in mitzvot, then formality doesn't matter quite as much. And you get, like I said, this very, that's the short version of a three-line Tosfot, right? The long version is this very, very long Rashba. If you want to pursue it, gizun to hate. But I'm not going to do that now because the Rosh Hashanah is getting sheer and not so long. Shkach, guys.